Hey, everybody, it's John Hall. Make sure you go to our website, stealthisbeer.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, which I write most of the time and Justin writes some of the time, but it gives you a little bit of background on what's happening on the show. And there you can also check out our brand new merch. Yes, we have a Steal This Beer glass that is exclusive only to online folks. And consider giving us some patroons. Patreons keep us on the air. Thanks so much.
It is our 408th, 208th.
Happy anniversary.
5 o'clock on Friday. 208th, 5 o'clock on Friday.
It sounded like you were debating that.
So somehow Justin got the math confused where he insisted that 53 makes a year. Like he can't comprehend that there's 52 weeks in a year.
A
so
leap.
Week one and week 52. So he keeps making it, this should be our 409th episode. He's always trying to add the number one. We've been fighting for
it. I like that you're doing this while he's not on mic.
That's my trick.
Because you know who's sitting in the Justin seat right now.
Don't give it away yet. I'm building up to that. The first thing I have to do is say Mazel Tov to you.
Yeah.
And the reason I know to say happy birthday to us is because I'm staring at the chief.
Yeah.
What's up, the chief? Hi, guys. How are you, pal?
Nice. Oh, I'm doing really well.
That makes us older.
It makes me so proud
you're
to
like
be
our
here
Bill Murray.
See you guys.
You are our Bill Murray.
What a run. What a magnificent run.
I like it. Thank you.
And that's it. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better than that. And we do have B-Cass on the ones and twos.
Yo,
welcome
in a
back.
Patagucci Ironheart.
Yo,
I'm paying you guys too much money.
You don't pay us anymore, actually.
Well, we'll do some sours with you.
Okay.
Some sours.
Kettle sours only.
Is that it's like a pity sour? Is that
that's
what he's
right,
throwing
that's my
you
pity
now?
Sour. That's
pity
the old
run.
Building
the
sours. The old building sours. All right, Chief, welcome back. Your fifth time on the show.
Yes.
We've had you in one room louder than this. I believe one year we snuck this in at the New York City beer thing.
Yes, and like the Brewer's Choice event.
But today feels loud. There's yet another Goldman Sachs IT department party at our new home at Treadwell.
Yeah.
How many shows have you done here?
So we moved here about 6 months ago, and we managed to miss a bunch because we did some on-the-road shows.
We spent like 4 months in Colorado.
We really
which
did.
Was fun.
In 4 days, recorded that many terrible episodes of Drunk Augie. You would
all right,
love
that. The static is happening, Cass.
And okay. I'm not touching anything, Cass.
Cass.
Hold on, guys. Sorry.
Oh, that's better.
It's a connections thing, though. Anyway, we're back. All sorry right. about that, thieves. But we... You know what I love is that people
we're doing this
have
on the fly.
The most we ask for correspondence every week, Chief, and the only thing people will consistently correspond on is that bit of static. So I feel like we've got to keep it in there just to keep the Gmail account alive. All right, so let's talk.
Okay, let's go.
It's because like we don't listen to the show, so it's
so since the last time you and I sat down on Steal This Beer, which may be the last time we really sat down, we're busy guys these days. IA has celebrated
we
its third
we
year
together last
we did make a beer.
We celebrated our second anniversary. We're coming up on three.
Okay. All right. I thought
we'll that be, wasn't in your notes.
We'll be three in August, on August the 18th.
Oh.
So
happy anniversary.
If I look at my year on the show, I think I've been my height of cynicism and my height of hopefulness for beer equally spread 50-50 over the whole year. I've completely believed that we're going to get through everything and everything's fine and the right people are finding the right way. And I've also said, oh my God, the internet has ruined beer. And I've said it
those,
probably
those two things
half the shows.
They're not binary, right?
No.
No.
But they seem to be, like, I've been at both ends of that spectrum, further out than usual for me. What was your last year like? What was the thing Chief learned this year? Since last time you sat with us, not the calendar year.
I mean, personally, I've had to become a better, like, boss. Like, we've grown really fast, and all of a sudden we have 25 employees.
Do you think you were a bad boss in the bad boss way, or a bad boss in just not paying attention?
I didn't say I was a bad. I said, but
you were a weaker boss, was it style, wow, management, or attitude?
I just think I've had to change my priorities, okay, like, a lot, all about... Right. Being realistic about running a business beyond just.
All right, so most of the guys that come,
brewer.
Most of the guys that come on the show with your experience going into their own world claim to do it to put their boots back on. And I've always known you to be kind of realistic that wasn't really going to happen for you.
I don't think I made other people's ladders. No, I think
that's what I'm saying. I thought you were always good about it. So it sounds like you're now saying that it still was even less than you thought.
I mean, I think I spent more time on a forklift the first couple years we were open than anything else.
Just plumbing things straight through the mouth.
It's only recently that I've not played that role from time to time either.
All right.
So we've had to invest in people and think about the business and how it's going to continue to grow beyond just what kind of beer we're going to make over the next couple of
weeks. We've had one of your people on, Sophia, when she was a new hire. And she's clearly, I think anybody that follows
Chief was on that show, too.
I thought we switched them out. Maybe not. No, I'm sorry. It was both of you together.
She just... you just didn't notice me that day. You didn't.
Oh,
why
Chief,
would
you're
I? You didn't let
too.
Anybody else talk that day. Actually,
I never do.
Weird.
She just celebrated her third anniversary with us.
That's
as did our other two core hires who came on pre-launch, Mike McManus and Ken Erdogan, our erstwhile brewmaster and sales director, and they are, you know, weapons. They're not even secret weapons.
That's kind of where I was going. Foundational I know Sophia's for us. Paid off in a huge way because. She's fantastic. Everybody else kind of down line sticking as well?
Yeah, we've had really good luck. We've been very deliberate about who we have committed to, but I'm really proud of how we've staffed some of the roles that have presented themselves to us.
Right on.
I'm curious about this, though.
Do you think there's a trait in all of them?
Yeah.
Is there a thing that you would... tracked or look for, or that you now that you can look at a group of 22?
I mean, they were three people that I already knew really well in different ways. We have made a habit of working with people that we know, and we're bringing on a couple of new hires that are coming from our existing network, which is also really exciting. You know, I have trust issues.
Friends like me, they're not going to go away.
So, like, they're people that are very trustworthy.
Right on. That's cool. All right, so let's slide it forward another step.
Because
I like all that, but we've definitely talked the business of IA a bunch. I want to talk about going back to the keeping the boots on versus getting the boots off decisions. So when I talk about the East Coast IPA and why I started, who my guys are, I always name Flower Power, which was, I know I've said it on the show before, but it was your recipe back in the day. Mm-hmm. So you're one of the most influential on me brewers.
Sure.
And one of the guys I absolutely would defer to on all things IPA. When you started IA, I thought we were really going to be focused on, you know, all the places IPA is going. And I'm not saying you're not doing that. But as a guy who mostly sees news of you through the troll sites on Facebook of New Jersey, you've done a shit ton of pilsners and other stuff. Not that you wouldn't, Saisons. But you definitely seem to kind of, you know, insistently make sure for every X number of something, there's Y number of something else. Is that conscious? Is that just me reading it wrong?
No, I think that's a very astute thing to say, because we've prided ourselves on having like a big picture understanding of the industry and what our place is in it and how you need to have a stable portfolio to operate in a distribution channel of any kind, you know. So that's been very deliberate.
Well,
and we have to some of our beers are easier to sell in the market than others,
Jesus.
Right?
Yes.
But we followed...
Everybody asked me. I said, I'm going to see Chief. They said, say Wrench. I said, I don't need to. He knows.
We follow our palates, and, you know, we get to a point where we want to drink more Pilsner, and we have to brew one that we like. You know, but as that becomes part of our portfolio, it's gratifying to see to see it stick, you know?
What do you think... What do you think's the coolest new beer you did since last time you sat down here?
And how do you define a cool new beer?
Thanks for taking the follow-up question.
I can't remember if I would have mentioned it if we were far enough along with it last year, but we started doing a series of lagers called Landscapes.
The seasonal one?
They're seasonal for each of the seasons, and the first one we launched was last summer, and they are all New York State grown ingredients.
Are you a farm brewer? Do you need to do
that?
We hold a farm brewing license.
Okay. We have our dual license. And last year, I believe, we were one of the biggest producers of New York State farm beer in the state, if not the biggest. And the batches of lager that we're making are, I think, legitimately the biggest batches in modern history of New York State beer.
New York State ingredients? Of strictly New York State ingredients. Okay, because I was going to say, Brooklyn's still made somewhere new.
I don't think they have a farm beer, though.
No, that's what I mean. That's why I was codifying that.
So these...
That's awesome.
There's finally a supply side that can... I mean, it takes our maltster a couple of weeks to make enough for us to fill a 100-barrel tank. Wow.
I think that leads us into beer one well.
Oh, yeah.
Because I suspect this is one of Evan's beers. Just on nose, it smells like his yeast, but we'll move on. We'll get to that. So let me do the
yeah, you know, please. He's listening.
The 200
like an audience
four,
of one.
Four
the
years
208th. The reason, the thing that brings us together on Steel This Beer is a candid conversation of beer, not what it is or what we paid for it or what its trade value is, but you know, what it's doing in the glass, where we enjoy it, and if it's in your cellar, if you can get any
Justin.
Read on how it's working. So anyway, Black Glass facilitates that. John and I have no idea what we're drinking. Here's the thing.
It
smells
to
me like Evan's beer, but it doesn't taste like anything I know by him.
No.
It's really crisp, really clean, really poppy, really fun, but there's something in the yeast that reminds me of him. And since he makes so many beers I don't know, it could just be one of those. So let's talk about what I am getting. It's got like a ginger ale liveliness, both on the palate and whatever. The bit of it that is non-sack is very tidy and put together right where it should be. So there's this little tiny bit of sourness that goes away behind a kind of crisp, clean finish. What are you getting off of Johnny Cakes?
It's interesting that you mentioned Evan. At the first whiff of this, I was remembering about 2 years ago, I was in... the south of England at a brewery, who I forget, but I was with Adrian Tierney Jones, the writer, and we visited this brewery, and it was this farm brewery, and they had this table beer that they served, and that's what immediately popped into my mind. That it's right off the bat, I was thinking of well water, you know, something that hasn't been treated, that you can still sort of taste the groundwater from it. It's got this very pretty petite characteristic to it, where it just doesn't overwhelm on any one particular thing. It's sort of like, you know, remnants of perfume, you know, of like a day or two later, it's sort of like hanging out and around.
I like it. I'm just picturing some well-written sonnet about a lover having just walked out of the room, John.
3 days later and her scent still hangs in the air
kind of thing.
Yeah, oh no, it is. It's... Yeah, there's this like nice little flower thing going on with it. I'm not getting that ginger ale effervescence to it. In fact, just about its body. No. But the carbonation on mine is actually just a little bit lighter, a little bit easier. This is just honestly like one of those beers where, yeah, I don't want to be with any of you. I just want to be sitting by myself. Sitting outside, you know.
The sock monkey just made over, and I feel like it's an Orval shaped sock.
Is this old Orval?
No.
All right, so for my sentence, this one I'm not getting away without sharing with Lauren.
Yeah.
But I just wish she was here, not I was there. This
I wish she was
shows.
Here, too.
No. Yeah, well, you always
in your place?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That'd be a great show.
Oh, yay! Oh, it's barn beer.
It is barn beer.
Wow, and it's a very clean barn beer.
I'll tell you, that bottle of beer has been abused as well.
Oh, yeah?
That's been sitting on the windowsill next to Mike's desk for at least a year. It's been through the
seasons.
In our rustic office.
You know, he and I did one of these in Jersey with all Jersey ingredients.
Oh, this isn't about right now.
Yeah. He came down. I gave him some honeycomb. He grew up the yeast.
Oh, that's great.
He told me he had
a great day with you.
Yeah, he's the best.
Well, and I know he's listening.
Is he?
Yeah, he listens.
Well, I think he's got a lot of free time on the barn. I'm not flattered that he's listening. Yeah,
God,
so
this held up.
But like, we drank a magnum of that from like its first
run.
That's probably why I knew the smell, but the taste was a lot more downstream maturity wise, you know what I mean? Like this feels really sprightly and fresh.
I think we've had it for at least a year.
Okay.
So I don't know if he puts a batch number on it.
But it's
widely available now.
I love finding it.
He does the internet stuff now.
Finding it in bars. Like
He sells it on draft. He sells sixels of it too.
And the neatest thing here, Chief. This will be fun for you. So I gave him a honeycomb to grow up yeast for this project at my place from my next door neighbor's beehives. It in his cellar. Like he put it down for the morning to come start it the next night. And when he woke up, it had doubled in volume at 53 degrees. So I'm now doing a lager with it.
Oh, cool.
Just because I was so turned on by the fact that it doubled at 53. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it's really weird. As far as we can tell, sensory at home, it's just sac and lacto. There's no Brett.
What's going to make this beer a lager?
We're properly lager. It's a Keller, really.
Okay.
We're properly doing it in wood, moving it to steel, holding it forever. I'm calling it a pre-constitutional. I want to believe it's what you could have made in New Jersey back then, so we're using Jersey corn, Jersey wheat.
So that
yeast.
That's similar to the approach that we're taking. That's what sort of we're looking 100 years back with these lagers, and they've been, the first one was a spelt, a rustic spelt lager.
Nice. How did it play for you? What did the spelt do? Did it act like wheat, or did it act like harder grain?
Yeah, it was a little bit, had a gummy expression to it.
Right on.
I had some mouthfeel that was different. And then we made a rye, like a harvest
winter
beer.
Rye?
No, it was like an amber rye lager in the fall, and then a black lager through the winter.
But it had black in it.
We had New York State grown malt sent to Valley Malt in Massachusetts.
Had them burn the fuck out of it.
She roasted it, and it didn't take much. It only took 5 or 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Maybe we got a 50 pound bag.
Did she do any bittering, or just let it be what it was?
No,
be
it was just roast barley,
small.
And we were just doing color and a very small percentage. And we just did a pale honey bock that we just released last week, and that's actually really cool, like firm. Firm like honey lager.
Where'd you get the honey?
From a regular customer of ours.
Okay. That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Good synergies. Yeah. Now let's talk about that, because you're now in. All right. So I haven't seen any of those beers in New Jersey, but
no,
I have
we only
seen
sell
Wrench,
those in New York.
But I have seen Wrench, and you're in New Jersey, and I know you're expanding and doing the distributor thing. Hearkening back to, let's assume 3 years ago with your. I don't want people lining up. I want to be in gas stations and available.
Oh, my God. That fucking gas station
I'll
thing.
Never stop it.
Nobody will stop with that.
Good. But anyway.
It is.
It's the only reason I go to gas stations.
But you're already in need of a new space.
Well, that and gas. But
we are building a second.
So let's
we
talk
are
about that, because that's a big
a
fucking deal.
But yeah.
2 years into the business, 2.5 years into the business.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you guys something. I told John leading into the show before you got here. We found out that we are on the top 50 list of the fastest growing breweries in the United States. We found that out today on the Brewers Association.
Congratulations.
That's
by awesome. Volume, right? Not waste.
I think it's growth year over year.
Right, right.
And so it's the first year that we've had two to compare.
Right.
But it's
the two sweetest words in the English language default. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We are growing quickly. We tripled last year. I think we'll double this year. We'll be at close to 18,000 barrels this year.
Oh, wow. So that's Carton is stuck at 3,000. Go on.
Well, you make a conscious decision there, right? Yeah. You have to operate within your own
footprint. But deal, so right? But where so, is yeah, wrench so, available? So
wrench
right
is
now,
currently
state-wise.
Sold in and all of our core beers, I should say, also Metric Pills and Tools of the Trade Extra Pale.
No, I wanted to get to that too, next.
are sold in all of New York, New Jersey, all of New Jersey, all of Connecticut, all of Rhode Island.
Which isn't big.
I was going to say that's
and
which
you
is what
you can just
Jersey.
Say Rhode Island yeah,
and Japan.
That's fine.
And Japan.
And Japan. And Japan.
Yeah.
And now that was my next question. So besides the big hit IPA that most people are giving you praise for, what else is the call them core brands for distribution, and not by volume but by SKU, how much of Chief's output a year is that brain wise?
Wrench is about 60% of what we do.
Out. Or in tanks?
Sorry?
In tanks or out the door? Because there's beers you just sell at home.
We don't do a ton of small batch one-offs. We are going to start to do more of those.
In the new facility?
Actually, in the old one. The transition will be that we build a bigger brewery to do the brands that we produce the most of, and then sort of look at our original spot as more of an R&D and smaller batch.
Gotcha. Wait, I want to go back just half a tick because I'm really curious about Japan.
Right? Yeah.
Because there's going to be people who are going to say, well, how come I can't get it in my state, but you're sending it across the country and then across the
state? I'm going to tell you. I have an answer.
Oh, good.
Fuck you.
So we have some friends. You guys are probably...
That's your answer.
You guys are
that's your answer for everything. Yeah.
You guys are probably aware of our friends who have a brewery in Delaware County, 2SP.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had them on the show, but if not, you should.
Have we, Justin?
Justin says no. Their sales director has become a friend, and he has an old college friend who he played rugby with, who's Japanese, who just retired from Arthur Anderson at age 40 and launched a craft beer importing business.
Right.
In Japan.
To bring beer from the East Coast to Japan. And he came and saw us when we were 3 or 4 months old and we were still self-distributing only in New York State. And he said, I'd like to sell your beer. And I said, I really appreciate that, but we only sell our beer in New York. And he said to me, just totally deadpan, no, you only sell your beer in New York and Tokyo. And I said, fucking yeah, that's right. I only sell my beer in New York and Tokyo.
That does sound a little like a Clash song,
and
right?
It's been great. It's been great. We send a couple of pallets every quarter. And the love we get back on Instagram is worth it.
Instagram?
It's
a place where you don't get love. Yeah, you get trolled.
It's a place where we get a ton of love from Japan.
That's awesome.
And it's been very gratifying. And, of course, we'll probably take a trip there before too very long.
You'd have to.
Yeah. And it's
on
been
a slow
it's
boat been, in a refrigerated container.
Yeah, and it's about 4 or 5 weeks on the ocean to get the beer there, but it's cold chain the whole way.
So are you sending...
And we send wrench there.
Wrench?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and we send it, we send beer that we've just packaged, so it's just about a month old when it lands. And we get great feedback.
Right on.
Like, really, and,
that's
and
so
I, I think it's cool. Like, it's definitely a big market, and... It's fun. It's just fun. Like, sometimes I want to do things that are fun.
Right. Well, I just want to see the Juice Wolf Tokyo t-shirt.
That reminds me. I brought you guys something.
I want...
Aww.
By the way, do you know, I think you brought me a Juice Wolf shirt.
You're reaching into your pocket.
Juice Wolf shirts? Juice Wolf pins?
Oh, wow.
Bark at the Moon. That's a Juicelata. There's an umbrella in there.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
It's the hashtag that we like to use. Yeah.
Thank you.
For all you throat beers that
wait
on the juice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to put it on.
Yeah. Pass one down to Justin.
I got mine a couple weeks ago.
It's too quiet.
Oh, did you?
You were next to me.
Did you trade for it?
No. Jeff graciously brought me to the Hopsteiner booth and gave it to me.
Right on. All right, so we got to talk about glass, too, because I think it's going to take us the rest of the show. There is a fuckload going on in here.
I love it.
This is a super Venice beer, though. I love it, though. Surprised you like it.
Well, here's the thing. It's super Venice, but the first thing that I'm getting, and bear with me on this because I know you're going to, you know.
Have I ever bared with you on anything?
No, that's why I'm asking
you. Why would you ask?
I'm getting the lobby of a movie theater.
That's popcorn butter.
It's popcorn butter. It is.
But this is
hold
Chief,
on.
You
hold,
taste it. Hold Jesus on. Let me ask you a question because Chief tastes diacetyl way better than me. Is there any diacetyl on it?
No.
No.
I don't think it's diacetyl.
It's not diacetyl. It's not. That's not what I was going with.
Cherry worms?
Cherry ices?
Yeah, it is. It's
cherry
candy
ices and butter.
And it is.
Maybe toilet puck.
You're getting a little bit of that?
Maybe.
Fresh toilet puck.
Yeah,
but
not,
there,
not
but,
urine,
but
not
there
urine.
Is definitely
the
a Sunday. Combination of aromas and flavors that hang out in this that remind me of walking into the multiplex where there is so much, you know, confectioner's sugar and other things going on in the air right now, and then you have to slowly unpack what all that is. So I like that we'll spend some time talking about this, but at first whiff to me, this was holy crap! There are 5 or 6 different competing things going on here, and each of them want to punch you in the face first.
Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Have you ever been to a Tapanaki-style birthday party in New Jersey?
What's Tapanaki for the people Tapanaki? That don't know what Tapanaki is?
The Japanese guys that cook on your table?
Hibachi?
No.
Why?
No. I've not heard of Tapanaki.
Tapanaki is the name of that.
No,
but anyway.
It's Benihana. Okay. You go to Benihana.
But the style of cooking at Benihana is Tapanaki.
Fine, but
anyway.
You should say Benihana.
I've never been to a Benihana. I've only been to places in New Jersey like Shiki, but that's neither here nor there. You know when they do the volcano and the vegetable
yes,
oil hits the very hot skillet in an onion that isn't really cooking yet? I've got that smell dead center of this thing, and I love that smell.
So sweet white onion?
But with burning vinegar. Vegetable oil.
Is there white vinegar at that point in the show, too?
You may, well, rice wine vinegar. Yeah. That could be. But the reason I bring it up is because I would usually ascribe that kind of sense to hops, and I'm getting zero hop presence anywhere in it. So that's why I'm confused and excited by smelling green onions on a cooktop.
I had vanilla and barrel on the first sip.
Vanilla.
You also
and
don't know
barrel.
What you're drinking? Wait,
no.
Cass, you know, you're allowed it. You're allowed it.
I'm allowed.
You're allowed, but you don't. So, yeah, no. Join in. Year 4, we're just changing it all up.
Justin is here, guys. We haven't heard
Justin's
of him yet.
Justin's on
cans, but no mic.
Justin just gave us all the finger for no reason.
No, he for a
no,
good reason.
No, there's a reason.
Yeah, so I am pissed any of you guys got any of this. And that's my sentence. I'm really pissed you guys.
Oh, you
have
wanted
this
whole thing?
I want this whole thing over 2 hours.
So here's my concern.
And I want to let it get all the way warm.
Here's my worry. In the 5 times that Chief has been on the show now, you've
it's
had...
It's not Orval.
You, no.
He brought you Orval.
I understand that. He brought us 2 Orvals once. You
proper
like to have fun with us as this were. I'm wondering if this doesn't fall into... Maybe even a non-beer category.
No, it's not.
No, it's
not wine.
It's beer.
It's a hybrid. It's a.
There's apples in there.
No.
There's grape juice in there.
Yeah.
That makes sense because first thing I said was Venice. I just can't pick what grape it would be, which I think is a testament to the skill. It's not barrel. It's actual juice.
It's got a little bit. Are you getting a little bit of this like hidden alcohol heat at the end of it where? It could actually be a little bit more boozy than it you feel like right off the bat.
Yeah, for sure.
This is a Seminole American sour.
So it's is it from the West Coast? Is it what's
no.
his name?
It's not Vinny Chulerzos. Vinny Chulerzos.
We don't need hints. We're not trying to guess what it is. No, I'm done talking about it. I'm just mad you guys got any of it. I wish I had this whole bottle to myself.
I've been saving this for a long time.
4 years? Since the first time
longer,
you blinded us?
Even longer.
Whoa.
Wow.
All right.
I love this beer, and I'm really mad you shared it with
Justin
anybody
just pulled it
me.
Out.
This is Cuvée de Castleton.
Wow.
From
Captain Lawrence.
This beer okay. is
you, Bogart,
this beer is 8 or 9 years old.
Well done, Scott.
I think this is batch 2. It's 8 or 9 years old.
Holy crow.
So what are the grapes in it?
He may say on there.
I don't know.
I can't read. I'm an old man.
Purple ones.
I believe they're white. And he's definitely Chardonnay barrels.
Oh, it's so good.
Justin's reading the label with his cell phone.
So that's
right
your
now.
Butteriness. That's your popcorn butter.
Yeah.
Because that's appropriate to Chardonnay.
All right. I stand by what I'm saying.
I'm not saying you didn't, but it's always nice when we can identify it and learn from it.
Yeah.
Muscat.
Muscat grapes? Nice. Those are probably grown in New York.
Yeah.
Which would be typical for Scott and Smart.
Yeah, he probably would have got them from Prospero Winery. Yeah, he probably would have brought it right through whatever they were doing at Prospero during the harvest.
Well, you know I love Scott. I know you love Scott. I know almost everybody that brews in New York that's been on the show has worked for Scott.
Yeah, so. Evan did.
Yeah.
And I think if I had an agenda, it was to illustrate the spectrum of Hudson Valley Brewers.
So that first sour, I convinced Scott to give me a dozen of the two sours he released in the 375s. Mm-hmm. And I've drank one a year since, and they hold on like that.
Yeah.
Like they get better every year. Actually, one of the things Evan and I opened when he was down was one of these.
Cool.
Here's what I'm curious about. So this beer is
eight,
10 years old.
It's the anniversary.
Yeah, he might have brewed that 10 years ago.
Are you thinking about beers that you can serve 6 years from now, 8 years, 10 years from now? I mean, Augie has done some beers
today, but we are going. We're about to enter a period where we make more
barley wine,
esoteric beers.
So the beers that, if somebody's sitting on a case of Wrench from batch one.
Not recommended.
Okay.
In fact, we had an account do that on their own, save one can from every batch for 4 or 5 months. And it's an account that sells 5 or 6 cases a week, maybe.
And you came in and were like, please don't.
One of their bartenders, I talked him out of it. And then sent it back to us. So we had a pristine. It was a better library than we
had
in the brewery, actually. Yeah. So we had one from every week for 4 or 5 months.
Did you QAQC them just to see?
We shotgunned them.
Right. Well, that's what you would do.
Same thing.
It's what I would have suggested.
Yeah. We faced them. We just faced them.
But I always, for some reason, I put you on a pedestal I don't think you deserve, where I never think you would gun your own beer. Unlike Augie Carton. Speaking of gunning beers, Chief snuck a third in, meaning that poor Ballast Point guy who's coming on next.
Are you doing two shows?
One?
Yeah, we got two shows. Can you stick around, Cass?
Yeah. I don't think I have an option.
Well played.
Saison? You got it yet?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to be a dick. I thought
it was Saison.
I didn't.
It tastes good.
It is not Saison, but it smells... Smells Barney's. Tastes lightly sour.
I'm just sitting over here being sad now.
I didn't know if we'd have time for three.
Which is not much more different.
Got time for
Do we have, I don't even know if we have a letter.
We have a letter.
But wait, let's finish up with
you. No, I know. I just want to know where we're going.
I want to wait till Justin's here because I like to see his face when letters are read. But yeah, dude, so what else? What's your sweeping thing for Steal This Beer's fifth year? From today till episode this plus 52.
Over the next couple of months, we're going to open a second location that's going to be a lot of fun.
Saison.
No, smell, but wait till you taste. It tastes gozy.
We have acquired a building in Beacon, New York that has a lot of opportunity. It's a really big building on a big piece of land with a beautiful view.
How far is it from where you are right now?
It's just about 30 miles, about 45 minutes.
Closer to your house?
I live in between the two sites.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty
smart,
convenient for me.
Savvy.
Mike also lives in between the two sites, equidistant.
So he's still living in your house then?
No, man. Mike has his whole own house.
I know this
he has a credit card and everything, man.
But it's got your name on it.
No.
But so I know this was buried in a conversation I had, but I want to highlight it. That the original IA stays open.
Oh, yeah,
that's one of the most badass buildings in the world. Like, you're not
in
leaving
fact,
that
we,
behind.
No, we are over the next, let's say, 6 months, we're maxing that place out, and we'll have capacity to do 22 or 24,000 barrels there. And we're going to keep that kind of production there long term. I hope that we'll have a robust specialty program that comes out of there, and our bigger mainstream production will come from a bigger new facility.
Now you, last question before we move on. You as a super conscientious, I want to say old school without sounding disrespectful, so I'm just going to say old school, but will you let anything get dirty in either house? No, it's just because he innovates so much, because I learned so much about new brewing from him. Will you let anything weird in either of the houses as that moves on?
Yeah, for sure. Right. We're in the short term. Now, we're going to start doing some really cool stuff.
But for the thieves that haven't been yet, the current building is two completely separate buildings.
Yeah.
Will you break off a dirty side of that house kind of thing?
I think one of the things I talk about or think about at least is I'm going to move my office to Beacon, like my desk.
Okay.
And then
let that be a barrel room.
I'm going to put a cool ship where my desk was.
Just for hopping little pails.
It's going to be really small.
Just for hopping little pails like the last place. Huh?
No, our office is like a 4,000 square foot room.
Have you been upstairs?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's like
I just
other
meant the size
people's
of a
art.
Desk. Most people, yeah.
Well, I have a big desk.
Or so I've been told.
Yeah.
I've never measured, but so I've been told.
It's a desk measuring.
This
contest.
Is a fun beer. This beer is kind of a mindfuck
beer
number
people
three.
Made this beer.
I feel like it took Chief 5 years to get
Clown Juice?
No, it's going to be Omega Gang,
like
dude. Follow
people.
The trend. It's got to be a New York brewery.
No.
And it's got... No?
No.
Fucking Chief...
It's Orval,
son of a bitch. That'd be good, because it'd be the first time you liked Orval.
Hey, did anybody else celebrate Orval Day just sitting in the shower crying while it ran?
I did.
No, just
there
me?
There was an Orval Day?
Come on.
You were at
you
my
Facebook
party, dude.
You posted it.
I don't go on Facebook. For good
reason.
All
right, so Chief, here's the fair warning.
That's all he said.
Some
in
point
an hour. I don't go on Facebook.
That's dude.
That's it.
It's my value
it's the genius.
To the show.
It's the genius.
No one is as gully as Cass. But anyway, so fair warning, Chief. At some point, live on the air, Hall figured out that it would be fun for us rather than trying to do a live show next.
Oh yeah.
Do a touring.
Yeah, I'm good for
show.
That.
I already talked to him
about
it.
But you know, we're gonna land at you. Fair warning, drunk Augie. We're going to start at Suarez.
We're going to launch the bus into the air.
Can you start at my place?
No, that's
can
why I'm warning
you. Can you start at my place?
I owe Dan a sober Augie, badly.
You owe who?
Wait,
owe
what? See, I knew you guys weren't telling him the truth. We're going to go Dan, Evan, you.
Come to our place the next morning.
What about Hudson Valley?
Oh, yeah, the Steal This Beer brunch?
Yeah.
Will you bring us...
The Steal This Beer
brunch?
Yeah.
Tuesday morning brunch.
I will do anything.
It's
going to
be great.
It'll definitely be on Tuesday.
It'll definitely be on Tuesday because we have to do the shows on Monday.
Every Monday at 5.
So Tuesday morning brunch. Yeah.
When do you think this will be?
End of summer.
Yeah. Summer 2022.
So we'll be closer to those guys if we do it in Beacon.
Yeah, we could do Hudson Valley.
We'll have a great tap room space.
We'll figure it out. It's still
so we're trying to open that around Memorial
still
Day.
Still hatching.
Justin's on it. We have a summer intern who's going
to... But I feel like the right time to do it, because I think of your region as autumnal and my region as summer. So I think the best move would be to do it like that weekend after Labor Day. Nobody really has good plans.
Cool.
But we'll figure it out.
We'll be there.
It'll be on Facebook, and Brian will find out about it after.
Yes.
Cass is driving the bus.
We'll record
Can
it
we
like
talk
we're
about beer number
pie.
Three?
We'll all get live headsets.
Or are we going to read a letter?
Oh, we got to talk about three.
Yeah, beer three first. Man.
Beer three.
Beer three first.
I love beer three.
Yeah, I'm...
It's like the acidity of the last two got honed down to just a tiny little bright spot of actual acetic, but much cleaner, uncomplicated, and fun to... Like, it's that Easter time where you know the smell of when you're dying Easter eggs? That white vinegar thing hides through it. But that white vinegar, like, hides in the air, not in the palate. This is one again.
Do you get easy touches of Brettanomyces off this?
No.
I'm getting light, easy touches of a little bit of...
You guys are really fucking getting good at this. I want, like...
Like, a little funky, little... But
cheesy.
Just, like, it's...
Not just wood?
No, not just wood, but an actual, like...
Cheesy, funky?
Not even cheese. No, certainly not cheese.
Yellow cheese.
You're getting yellow cheese off of this?
Yellow like a blue?
Like a blue cheese?
Yellow like the yellow Paws tablet?
No. Sliced Kraft American.
That's no, the fucking Easter blue cheese. Yeah.
That's the Easter egg dyeing brand. P-A-A-S.
See, now you're in my head where I'm just like, well, I just want this with a really great egg salad sandwich on rye.
It would have to be a really fancy egg salad sandwich.
Bacon. Sure. How bacon. Else like do you
needs,
do egg salad?
It needs enough but not too much tarragon.
On a brioche. All right, fine.
No, it needs like enough but not too much tarragon. Probably not the mustard spoonful because this is covering that. But I bet you could design a badass, like maybe chop some cashew nuts into an egg salad.
This is, honest to God, like one of those things where I feel like if I showed up at Motor Lambic in Brussels and somebody opened a bottle and poured this in front of me, that I would just like do this over and over and over again.
Fuck you guys for drinking my beer. Every time I take these bottles and try to pour a little more.
Chief, have you had this beer?
I have not had it before.
What's it doing for you?
It has that high musty note.
Which is his Brett thing.
God, it's so nice.
A little bit of pineapple there, I think, is what I pick up as the Brett, the Brett component.
Yeah.
Certainly the Easter egg dye was apt, sure. But it's like not out of control acetic.
Yeah,
like
no, it's, but it's the
clean
right amount.
And it's clean. Like it's not acetone.
Well, you as a brewer know you'd love all your things to get that far. The problem is, are they going to run away from you? Right. Like
and
that's right where
I
would
totally,
be like,
it's totally in check.
Yeah.
And this was, like I said, this was made by really fun people, and this is a collaboration beer, which are so often maybe not as greater than the sum of their parts.
Except for what we do.
Jesus.
This is
Wild Rivulet?
Yeah, this is Oxbow and Allagash.
Wow. All right.
And this is the batch 2.
So there is a little bit of Brettanomyces in this.
Yes, yeah. And I believe it's called out on the label.
Read the label.
And I think this, you know, we
talked
a little bit off,
barrel aged saison.
We talked a little bit away from the table about cynicism,
right.
and the internet.
Yeah,
this was a really cool thing for me to watch on Instagram, which maybe I pay a little too much attention to, as
I
well.
I really don't know what it is,
but this was the, you know, our dear friends from Oxbow going to make a beer without their heroes, their idols, and being so reverent. And truly stoked is the right word. Yeah. And the way they communicated it was very genuine. And it didn't reek of that.
Internet.
I get it.
Wild Rivulet V2 is the second take on a collaboration beer we brewed with Oxbow. On and around the original brew days, we put this beer into various barrels, including bourbon and wine barrels, and aged them for around a year. The barrels were blended back together and re-fermented in the bottle with Brettanomyces. This carries hints of citrus, wine-like aromas that are augmented by a tartness and delicate funk.
I think that's all accurate.
Yeah.
Very delicious.
Well, those
you're
guys know how to
you
write
said
cows.
You had some vanilla package. Or something, right?
I mean, just a,
that was the
just
last
world,
beer.
Like, just world-class beer.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but seriously, this is just one of those ones where...
Actually, all three were.
And, you know, you can assume that when you see the Allagash label, right?
Usually. But it's also usually, in my experience, they're a gentleman's beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're subdued.
They can beer now, man. They're bros. They are bro-ing.
God, who cans their beer?
Do they have a Citra Mosaic one yet?
More importantly,
who cans
they have a Shift F9 beer?
I think they make a Mosaic hoppy.
They have a Shift
F9
beer.
Yeah.
Yes. We had both Allagash cans.
I'm teasing. It was a line. That,
that might have been one of their first canned beers,
read
right?
All right, read a letter. We got
to
read a letter.
An anniversary.
It used to be hoppy table beer, though, like with Mosaic, right?
Oh, I like that one. But I didn't think it was Mosaic. I thought it was Citra.
They canned a beer a year or two ago before they did white.
Justin's going to look it up, and we're not going to give him a mic.
Before
we do the letter, thank you.
My pleasure.
We love growing up with you, and thanks for coming back and letting us do
like,
it again.
I like the parallel. Beers. Like I can appreciate, you know, how much work you guys have actually, and how much discipline it's taken to do this for four fucking years.
Well, for everybody but Cass.
And it was.
I haven't done much.
Well, I mean, it was.
You're
this.
Like a Facebook memory in person.
Exactly. Every time I see you, balloons go off.
All right.
You might be having a stroke. Right.
On that note, we will do a letter. This one comes from Dennis T. It is what subject up? Crossing the border. Say hello to
crossing
Dennis.
Border.
Dennis.
What's up,
T?
Dennis T? Is he a Patreon?
I don't know, but we'll tell him to
be a Patreon, guys.
Be a Patreon, Dennis.
Send us some Patreon
letter. Hey,
keep us alive.
Hey,
one
STB
more
team. Recently discovered the podcast and have been burning through episodes during my commute to work.
Thanks.
Very long commute, I imagine.
Had a question regarding Canadian breweries. I forgot which episode, but one of the black glass beers was from Great Lakes in Toronto, and it piqued my curiosity in terms of which Canadian, parentheses, Ontario breweries have been generating interest south of the border, meaning the States. I'm not a trader, and I tend to stay away from online forums, so beyond Bellwoods, I have no sense of who is getting the radar of U.S. beer drinkers. Keep up the great work. Cheers, Dennis. So he's referring to an episode that we did with Finback, where Finback had brought some Imperial IPA from Great Lakes in Canada.
Had Finback brewed with them?
Cool.
No. Right. Basil and Kevin just brought the beer, but basically I guess this guy's just looking for, you know, what Canadian breweries are getting hype here.
You got to, you only you and Hall can answer that.
I don't
maybe
know.
Chief can, and I'm
I don't
sure,
know if too
I'm
many
sure
Canadian
Justin
breweries.
Can.
Due to Seal?
Yeah, Due to Seal.
But I don't know shit. I don't even remember what we drank today.
Collective Arts.
Collective Arts, maybe, yes. Collective
Steam
Arts got
Whistle.
A lot of their beer, I think, is made at Two
really
Roads.
Big. Yeah.
Well, then it's not Canadian.
So I think that's a barrier. It's a hurdle to get over that border, I think.
It's a huge barrier. And yes, also to get U.S. beer there. But I think the more interesting thing, though, is if we got this question 10 years ago, there would have been a lot of excitement about Canadian beer. But I think that because the scene has changed in the U.S. so much right now, that, like, unless you go there to drink, like, there's not a lot that comes down here that you're going to be excited about, because you can walk to your local brewery and just get, you know, something that's...
You know, that
better,
said, my friends in Buffalo go to Toronto all the time and say the scene there is great. So they may they may have a better home market than ever as well.
I think they do. Yeah.
I think that.
My problem is when I've been drinking in Canada, it's been mostly Montreal, and it's like the worst version of what we hate about parts of America, where you walk in, you're like, "What do you have?" And they actually say the distributor or a company as a list. Like, we have the Labatt's beers, and that is a 6-tap answer that is consistent, and that's just how they answer the question in the places I've been. Now, when I'm there, I'm a tourist, so I'm not really seeking much out besides great restaurants. Like, I love Opiette and all that, and they have some cool beers, but they're definitely not small or unique beers. They're food-friendly cream ales and stuff like that. But the other problem is, all I remember about being a 70s, 80s, and 90s kid in New Jersey was... almost everything I thought I knew about Canadian beer was a lie and a myth, urban legend. Like, ice beers were stronger.
No, XXX.
Because it was misunderstanding Eisbach, and export beers were this because they weren't allowed to drink high. You know what I mean? There were all these, there's always these myths around these things you were given, and they were all basically just Moosehead, which was a sweeter Heineken. And I just remember that as I learned more about beer, what I was first learning was the lies I'd been told about Canadian beer. As in New Jersey, not by Canada. There's always an urban legend of why this would get you more fucked up if we could get XXX this or Moosehead that.
You're describing the plot of Strange Brew, right?
Yeah, right? I thought that
take
was Elsinore. I thought that was...
It was Elsinore.
Hey,
it
Justin, get us a...
But isn't that...
It's
isn't
funny,
that,
I'm watching a hockey game in the background, too.
Get us
but
our passports,
isn't that just
and let's go to Canada and do some shows.
Isn't that
the
story?
Yes, of course.
Okay, that's all I know about Strange Brew.
It's Strange Brew.
Macbeth, right?
We should get the McKenzie brothers on the show.
All right,
yes,
so
thank you for your letter,
Justin,
Dennis.
If you can't get us the McKenzie brothers, you're fired.
Justin, we're going to Canada. Seriously, get us tickets.
All right, well, thank you for the letter. Cass, do that thing where you get them to pay us money.
We need
money.
Thank you. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for all of the Patreons as well. A dollar goes a long way. Whatever you can give keeps us on the air. You can find more information at stealthisbeer.com. If you want to write us a letter like Dennis, you can reach us at stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com. And we are on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, even Untappd at stealthisbeer. Take us out, Augie.
Well, Chief, thank you, dude. Thank
you, guys. It's an honor.
Thieves, happy 4th anniversary. John
Hall, thank you guys for listening.
Happy 4th anniversary.
Thanks so much.
Justin Kennedy, excellent work today. I understood everything you said.
Burn.
And,
me.
And, you know, guys, get at us.
Cheers.
Cheers.